Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
I want to begin, though, with that story at the top of the news bulletin, those arson attacks on France's high-speed rail network. I'm joined from the French capital by journalist John Litchfield. Obviously, of course, just ahead of the Olympics opening ceremony at 6:30 this evening. John, what's happening?
Well, the three of the four big high-speed lines out of Paris were attacked overnight. Cables cut beside the lines, signalling transmission boxes burned. So essentially the three out of the four were lines were paralysed. The fourth one was also attacked, and in a way that's not yet been described, somehow the attack was fought off or failed. So essentially it was an attempt to paralyse the whole of the high-speed rail network in France, not only on the eve of the Olympic opening ceremony tonight, but also one of the busiest rail weekends in France, as people start to. It was deliberately timed, it was coordinated, lots of speculation. But the latest word from the French security services and also from the SNCF is that they suspect it was an attack by what they describe in the case of the security services as the ultra-left, and in the case of the SNCF by as crazies. And there have been attacks like this before by essentially disgruntled people within the rail employees themselves. And you do need to know what to do. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you or I could just go on and along and attack cables beside the railway line. You need to know where to go and how to do it. So something of an inside job, suggesting that maybe the Russians may have been involved, speculation of that kind here. But, you know, the Russians sometimes work through intermediaries. Maybe it shouldn't be completely dismissed that they're involved. But that doesn't seem to be the first thought of the authorities at this point, no.
Talk to me more about the impact. Don't the high-speed lines run parallel to ordinary lines?
No, not often. They often cut across country through on completely different routes. I mean, the whole point of the high-speed lines is that they don't need to sort of skirt hills or go, you know, over viaducts and things like that as much. They can go very steeply up and steeply down. So they're often much more direct than the old 19th century railway lines, and often take a very different route. But the old lines are still there, and they're now coming into use again because, for instance, the Eurostar service from Paris to London has been affected, and those trains are having to go off onto the old lines and trundle down to Paris or up to London much more slowly.
But this is my point, that there is an alternative there. There is not complete gridlock.
There's not complete gridlock, but it's very difficult. I mean, you know, the high-speed trains are able to go at something like 5-minute intervals, you know, and on the other older lines, which are now more or less only used for local trains and freight, they just don't have the signalling to absorb that amount of trains. So there's only kind of 1 in 4 of the regular trains going to the southwest, 1 in 2 to the north. I haven't heard a figure for the east. And as I say, the big line down to the south to Marseille and to the south coast was spared a similar attack, so that's working normally. So it's going to be disruption, a huge disruption, until the beginning of next week, until they can get these very complicated cables reconnected.
If indeed it does turn out to be an act of political malice or worse, it's hard to imagine that the French authorities are going to be able to increase their security response with, 45,000 gendarmes and soldiers on the streets of Paris already?
Absolutely not, and also a complete air lockdown on Paris tonight before the opening ceremony. That, you know, this enormous security presence, which has caused a lot of annoyance to people in Paris. But, you know, I think if the ceremony goes off well tonight, that will perhaps be forgotten. But no, I mean, you cannot have a policeman standing every 10 yards along the railway lines or on the roads or other places that might come under attack. So these were well chosen. You know, they were about 150 kilometres out of Paris in each case, at sort of significant points in the network, places where the signalling was kind of junctions in the signalling where you could take out the whole system with only one explosive not always explosives. I think there were incendiary devices used, but there were also, I think, chainsaws to go through the cables. very dangerous thing to do, you know, when trains are running at 300 miles an hour, suddenly the signaling system, 200 miles an hour, sorry, the signaling system packs up. But it was early in the morning, so there weren't that many trains out there, I suppose. But even so, it was an extraordinarily dangerous and vicious thing to do.
It's, I suppose, kind of logical that the authorities and people would be jumping to the conclusion that there might be Russian involvement here, because there was an arrest, I think it was on Sunday, wasn't it, of somebody who's accused of spying?
Yes, this is a very strange man called Kirill Gryaznov, who's 40, who's previously been a kind of TV reality show star in Russia, and also a celebrity chef, all kinds of things. And he was arrested after making a phone call, apparently on an ordinary line, to the Russian security services, talking about some sort of plan he had for the opening ceremony tonight, and saying that the French are going to have an opening ceremony that they'd not expected, or worse to that effect. He's in jail now and is suspected of working for the French Russian security services. Some connection with this? Obviously, people are going to make that connection. I mean, the Russians are the kind of wicked fairies that aren't invited to the Olympic ball. Therefore, they have every reason maybe to want to disrupt it. But I think for them to be directly involved in this would be an enormous step. You know, it would be an amount to an attack on a NATO state, more directly than anything that they've been found responsible for before. It's not impossible that if this were people from the ultra left, that the Russians were somehow involved. They often do work through dissident groups in that way. But at the moment, as I say, the word from the security services is it doesn't seem to be that. It seems to be partly internal to the SNCF, partly extreme left-wing groups, and there is enormous political tension, as you know, anyway, in France at the moment, because of the confused result of the parliamentary election and the fact that we don't have a proper government at the moment. So it might be an attempt to destabilise the country for those reasons, as well as because of the fact that the Olympics are about to start.
John Litchfield, thank you very much. We're joined by Simon Calder, travel journalist from the Eurostar terminal. I'm not sure which side of the channel are you on, Simon, and how disrupted are trains?
Right, I'm at London St Pancras International. This is the hub for Eurostar trains from here to Paris, to Amsterdam and to Brussels. And you can reach Amsterdam and Brussels perfectly normally. As we were hearing from John Litchfield, this attack is aimed squarely at the French high-speed line between the northern city of Lille and Paris. Now, trains are departing as normal. I've been here since 6 o'clock this morning and they've all been leaving on schedule. But that's kind of not surprising, since the problem isn't here. As we were hearing just now, it's when they get to France and they have to slot in to the very, very complex old 19th century infrastructure, along with lots of other trains from northern France, from Brussels, from Amsterdam. And already, trains have just started arriving. The first one did from Paris about 20 minutes or so ago. It was nearly 90 minutes late. That train was supposed to turn round after an hour or so and head back to Paris. Obviously, it's missed its departure time. And so what I fear we are going to see is delays building during the day and cancellations. And this is at a time when Eurostar was planning to run a record 18 trains today, carrying 900 people. So you are looking at a total of 16,000 passengers due to travel. If a few thousand of those cannot travel, well, they are flummoxed, bluntly, because unfortunately there's very few seats available on Saturday or Sunday, and it may well be, as we've been hearing, that they can't get the thing fixed in time. So it's a really bleak start to the Olympics, I'm afraid.
Well, let me get you to bring your expertise to bear on that last question that John raised. I mean, it is, as he said, an unprecedented attack. So do you have any kind of frame of reference for how long it might take to get beyond this disruption?
Well, the fact that SNCF, French Railways, came out very quickly and said this isn't going to be fixed over the week, it's not going to be fixed in time, say, for tomorrow, shows just how bad it is. And certainly from what I know, it has been just, I think John Litchfield used the word brutal, in terms of how expertly they have targeted parts of the signalling system and the overhead power system in order to make it as difficult as possible to fix. And that, unfortunately, is going to wreck the plans, not just of people from here, people coming in from Germany to Paris for the Olympics, from the Netherlands and Belgium, and crucially, a huge number of fans going to Olympic events starting this weekend were going to be people coming in from places like Nantes in Brittany, from Lille in northern France, from Strasbourg in eastern France, on those high-speed trains. I know people who are coming in Sunday morning, get in at 10 o'clock, go and see some events, leave home, leave Paris at 6. It now looks as though those will not be happening, and that's going to affect hundreds of thousands of people.
Indeed. Simon Calder, travel journalist, thank you very much for joining us from St. Pancras. There's going to be something of an Olympic and transport parallel lines or themes running through this morning's programme, because coming up after the break, we're going to be looking at Dublin's traffic plan, which comes into operation next month.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.